Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of The Maze Runner.
I watched the second half of The Maze Runner.
And this is the other half. Watch till you can't.
Back in the maze, brother.
We're back. We're maze running around at this new place, this new series, this new thing where we watch a movie, but this time, unlike our James Bond movies, we're actually doing Watch Till You Can't, where we're recording this each week. So
we're getting back to basics.
Yeah.
So we will be able to make a decision as to whether or not we want to watch the next movie every single week, rather than back when we were doing all the James Bond movies where we had to commit to two movies.
And that was okay for a franchise as long as James Bond, where it's basically eternal. It never stops being released. But for something like The Maze Runner, where there was only three movies.
Only three. Doesn't really work.
No, it doesn't really work. So we're doing it one by one. This is a request put in the Discord, actually, and something we thought of separately. I should have pulled up who brought it up in the Discord, but I think I can find it. I mean,
that should be helpful.
It would be helpful. Oh, now this is taking longer, so I'm gonna edit this part out.
Yeah, I'll just edit that part.
Where was it?
Who was it? Was it in the movie section?
That's a great question. I saw this earlier. Where? Huh. Remote.
Do you want me to look it up? I bet I can find it.
If you want. I know the person like left the Discord after they did it, so I was like,
Here we go. Yeah, it's Helen Cooper. I pulled it up like immediately.
Yeah, that was the last one I checked. I looked in the suggestions, I looked in episode suggestions, and then I looked at movie and TV. All right. Helen Cooper recommended this, so thank you for that.
Yes.
So we're watching this young adult series from 2014, I believe, is when it came out.
I think it was late 2000s, early
2014. It feels like a movie that was a response to The Hunger Games. I felt like
100%.
The Hunger Games seemed like a big success, and they're like, okay, so like that stars a woman, so what if we just have the most boys ever in a movie?
We just have a bunch of boys.
Just boys.
Yeah. But there's one girl.
There's one girl, but she's only introduced in the last half, or like the end of my half, so she's barely
the
in
halfway
it.
Halfway through point, yeah.
Barely in it in my half. Mostly just a big sausage fest.
Hey, but at least there's a lot of very talented sausages in this
movie. There's a lot of talented sausages, yes.
You got that one guy from The Bear that looks like the bad guy from Toy Story.
He looks like Sid.
You got one guy who is in that new Send Help movie that I really dig.
Thomas. I was wondering if he was
in Send Help.
Yeah, okay.
He's still around. He's mostly doing Alley.
Hey, the guy from The Bear is also Adam Warlock from Guardians of the Galaxy, so have some respect.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Have some respect.
He's also from We're the Millers. And what else? There's a bunch of other actors in this that I recognize that have gone off and to do bigger and better things. I think one of the guys, the British kid, is
Newt?
Newt. I never got his name in my half the movie, but yeah, Newt. He's in like the Queen's Gambit and stuff. He's a little freak.
Oh, really? I mean, that guy has one of those faces where like they named like the role of Newt was made for him. Like, he just looks like his face is named Newt, you know?
Everyone here is pretty appropriately named. You got Gally, you got Newt, and then you got Chuck. And that kid is absolutely Chuck.
Yeah, that kid is very Chuck.
Yeah, I like that kid. I don't know what he went off to do, but he's very good in this. I'm just gonna come out and say it. I thought this movie fucking slaps. I thought this movie really rocked. Yeah, I actually really, really liked my half of the movie a lot. And I actually liked it more than watching the Hunger Games movies.
Wow, I'm surprised. Because I was watching it, and I didn't know how it was going to end, because I was kind of like, I'm intrigued. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time watching it. It's like, has an interesting mystery. But like, for me, I'm like, is it going to pull it all together? Because I really didn't. I just got like little drips of information. I didn't get a lot of actual meat as to what was happening. So
I'm excited to ask you what you think is going on, because they do that thing where they like keep a lot of the information. I will say I think it slaps as far as like storytelling goes. It's very obvious this is based off of like a series of books, the young adult books, and clearly those books are like very just well told. I don't think like directorially it's like all that in a bag of chips.
It's a very safe. It's kind of a very safe. It's like totally fine.
it's safe directorially, but like content wise, I was kind of impressed. There's like blood, like people die, like they're like references to like suicide. I'm like, this is for young adults.
Well, I mean, Hunger Games also did very similar things. Like when there was a lot of executions and literally it was like people.
Yeah, killing but you don't
other.
See like the blood in Hunger Games, do you? I
I'm
feel like that's
pretty
different.
Sure you do. Pretty sure you do, okay. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't remember.
Also, like, because it's a lot of boys, there's a lot of, like, juvenile, like, cursing, which also feels really cool. Like, this really felt like a, like, almost like Holes or, like, a cool summer camp, even though they were all, like, sort of fighting for their lives.
Yeah. It had that vibe of, like, guys rock. We're all hanging out here trying to make a little shitty society. We're coming together to survive in these weird circumstances we don't really understand. I got a lot of like Lord of the Flies sort of vibes.
Oh
too.
Yeah, big time.
But
big
a little
time.
More peaceful, at least in my half.
A little more peaceful than the Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, a little more.
Okay, all right. But yeah, I was like really impressed by this film overall. I thought I really liked all the acting in it. I thought all the kids were like really talented.
The acting was good because yeah. a lot of the words they were saying are very silly. Like they're all like, we call them.
Oh yeah,
I was, you know,
grievers
running away from those guys,
or like Wicked.
I don't think I've seen Wicked, like the movie.
Wicked is good.
What? I don't remember that part.
Thomas is having dreams or something.
Oh yes. That was at the end of my half. Yes, Wicked is good. Yeah. It was very weird.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a psyop from the MGM studios trying to get a.
It really truly feels like that. They're trying to remind us that Wicked's actually a really good movie, and you should like it.
Yeah, they planted the seeds early back in 2014.
Wicked for good is what they should have been saying, so people could have seen that movie instead. But yeah, I'm going to come out and say it. I thought this movie fucking rocks. I'm actually a fan, and I'm genuinely surprised because I'm actually really excited for what might come next.
Wow.
If we continue. But I'm curious, how does the movie open? If the movie opens really poorly, maybe I'll change my
decision. Actually, the movie opens really strong. That's why I was like, oh, this is kind of cool because it literally just starts up with some guy going up an elevator. He's throwing up. He's sweaty. There's like a pig in a cage near him. Like, what the heck is going on?
The fuck?
He gets to the top of this thing, and there's all these dudes looking down at him, including the guy from The Bear and Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm like, I recognize that guy's face.
Yeah, Gally.
Gally's his name.
He does a good American accent for just being like a kid in this, by the way.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, he's in The Bear. Oh, no, he's European in that, isn't he? I forget. He's like the one European guy in that show. Never mind.
Yeah.
He does have a good American accent.
He's very good.
So he gets up there and he gets pulled up and he just starts running away. And all the kids are like, we got a runner. And I'm like, that's the name of the movie, Maze Runner. By the way, before we recorded I went for a quick run. So I wanted to be immersed. I wanted to feel like I was running away from the grievers. I wanted to feel like I didn't know where to go. I was running around in blocks.
I was running away from Gally because he's yelling at me.
Exactly. I was immersing myself.
How long did you run for?
Only like 30 minutes. Not that long.
Okay, it's not that bad. You ran the entire time for 30 minutes?
No, I ran. No, the grievers would have fucked me up. I would have been dead. I couldn't do all the stuff there.
Me and Ethan are going to do this thing now where I'm also going to go for a run before watching the second movie. I think we're going to just keep this run thing up and see what happens. I don't really know what this is going to do for the audience, but I'm kind of excited
to know,
do it.
It sets the vibe for us. And if we're having a runner's mindset, the audience will feel it through the microphone. That's what I believe. And it wasn't just because
I didn't have to take notes. I would love to run while watching the movie.
Ooh, that's a good use for a treadmill, right? Is you have like a little computer in front of you and you watch and then you type and then you keep running.
Yeah.
But that'd be probably some pretty bad notes. You could do that and then use voice transcription or something. But that's too much work.
You know, this would be even stupider is if we recorded an episode while running.
Oh my god, that'd be such bad content. I'd be like dying and like being able to breathe. It'd be horrible.
We're just like huffing and puffing.
So like, oh boy. So Guardian guy, what's his fucking name? He's like running and this guy came up behind him and he stabbed him. But he got fucking, what's the word? Fucking, not poked. Stung. He got stung. Yeah, no, we should not do that.
But yeah.
This is basically
we'll explore these options.
Yes, this is inside baseball for what we mostly talk about, how our conversations go when we're trying to figure out ideas for episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. What are the stupidest ideas that will result in the best content?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. So he's on the elevator.
He ran for a bit. He tripped over himself and fell. And then he looks up and he sees he's inside this giant, massive
maze.
Well, he doesn't know it's a maze yet. It just looks like a big compound on the outside because it's so tall.
Right.
It's, I don't know, what, like probably like 20 stories tall or something like that. It's pretty dang tall. It's hard to
Fucking massive. It's huge.
And he's like, oh, damn. I assume they're in the center. Like, I don't know how the actual, like, maze works. Maybe they're off to the corner and there's, like, tons of mazes. Who knows? But they lock him in this, like, crappy jail made out of bamboo because he's kind of going crazy. Yeah. And I'm like, he can just break out of that. Like, it's made of bamboo. It's not, like, a real jail.
But he's a kid. He's not strong enough to break bamboo.
I think he could. It's just bamboo and dirt, like dug in dirt. I think he just pushed the jail up if he wanted to. Anyway, so then, but it doesn't matter because a guy named Albie opens up immediately and says like, hey,
Albie.
Tell me about yourself. And he's like, I don't know anything about myself. I don't know my name. I don't know what happened to us. We have no memory. And he's like, cool. That's exactly what happened to all of us. Don't worry though. At some point you'll remember your name. That's the one thing they let us keep. Which is okay, you get to keep your name. That's interesting. They got very selective memory. So y'all got hit with this like amnesia that's very specific, right? Like it's like, oh no, you forget everything except what we need you to know, which is your name. Which I'm like, is that coming to play later when like they need to remember their name for a reason? Or why wouldn't they just give them like something? Like be like, hey, figure out your own name. I don't know.
So all this is established later on. They are very protective and selective. Whoever's putting them in there are very protective and selective as to what kind of information they give these kids because they're put there for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so then Albie explains to our man, says like, just FYI, every month we get fresh supplies and a new person comes up. They're kind of establishing all the rules, which is something I really love about complicated like sci-fi conceits or kind of like dystopian
conceits.
They need
to establish this stuff.
Yeah. When it's like, just like, all right, I got to explain what's going on, audience and person. So he's like.
And also like, how do these people maintain?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any wildlife here. So like, how do they survive?
That's why I got that pig sent up, I think. So they all call him Green Bean.
Is it a live pig?
Is he new? Huh?
Is he a live pig?
Yeah, it's a live pig.
Oh, so they're going to kill that pig? Oh.
Probably.
I see. Like Lord of the Flies.
Ah, reference. So then, they grow their own food. Da, da, da. There's a guy named Newt there. And I was like, that's his given name then? If he was like, no. Like, Newt.
Imagine coming here, remembering your real name, and then someone still gives you a fucking nickname.
Or what if you came here and you're like, I woke up, my name is Newt. And I'm like, actually, I'm going to continue with that name. I'm not going to change it.
Yeah, right? It's like you're going to college. Like, I'd be like, no, I get to rename who I am. I get to
exactly.
choose who I am. This kid chose to continue to be called Newt.
Yep. Newt was like, hey, man, I thought you'd be a runner, but then you fell around on your face, idiot. Anyway, I hope you're not afraid of heights. Mm. And then they climb up to a high point. Albie shows them kind of like, hey, here's what we're looking at. We got just walls everywhere. And he's like, what's out there? It's like, it's a maze. Anyway, here's the rules. Do your part. Never harm another glader because they're in the glades, I guess. And never go beyond those walls. And then he sees people like come around out of the walls. He's like, what about those guys? Like, don't worry about them. They're different. So we see Chuck. He's there. He's, I guess, the last kid who came up through. It was the one before him. And he's like, don't worry, everyone. It's very disorienting when you're here. I clunked my pants 3 times is what he said. Clunked it. I've never heard the term clunking. For pooping.
They didn't want to have this little boy say the word shit.
Or he could have said poop, or he could have said dump, or he could have said dropped anything. There's so many words for poop, but clunked is such a weird one. But I don't know.
And it sounds too close to his actual name. Like, it almost feels like a dunk on himself.
My name's Chuck. When I first got here, I chucked my pants 3 times. He could just say the same thing. We'd be like, yeah, all right. Context clues make sense.
Oh, yeah, sure. I accept that. Yeah, that's probably why they call you that. They call that kid Newt because of how he looks. They call you Chuck because you upchucked
pants. That makes sense. That makes sense. So, let's see. This guy, Green Bean, he really wants to go out there, our main character. He sees the Thomas. Two guys arrive and he's like, how come they can go out? And they're like, oh, they're runners. They can come go as they want. They're mapping out the whole thing. They know more about the maze than anyone. And then, you know, our little Green Bean man tries to go outside and Bill Poulter. What the fuck is his character name again?
His character's name is Gally.
Gally, okay, Gally.
Or Golly.
I don't remember.
Golly.
Golly. Golly.
G-A-L-L-Y.
He fucking knocks little green bean over, and he says, I can't let you leave. And he's like, why not? And then the wind blows, and it gets all spooky, and then the maze doors collapse. And they're like, welcome to the glade. Newt says, happy first day, Greeny. Here, Hobson puts your hair on your chest. And they drink like this homemade liquor, and it's terrible. Like, I don't know.
Dude, hell yeah.
It's Scally's recipe. It sucks or whatever. But whatever. The mage estate.
Scally.
Is it Scally? Oh, Golly. Yeah, Golly. Scally. Yeah, he has a funny accent.
I don't know who Scally is.
He has a weird accent, so I was assuming, you know.
Oh, okay.
I have a Scally recipe. Okay, whatever.
He's a scallywag.
He's a scallywag, he is. The maze is a dangerous place. The runners are like a group of people, basically, and they're all hanging out there. It's been 3 years they've been doing this, and they still haven't found shit. But then they hear some creepy, screamy sounds, and they're like, oh, my God, that's actually the Grievers, is what Newt says. And I'm like, okay.
Actually, that's the Grievers?
The Grievers? It's like, because it sounds like a creepy animal, like screaming. Yeah. And he says, no one's ever seen one.
Well, they
kind
of are.
Yeah, well, I don't know that. You're not wrong, but I didn't know that at the time. It says, no one has ever lived to see one and tell the tale, so they're very scary. The Grievers.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is... I do like this movie. I like the world, but at some point, it's just like, you keep introducing new things, and it's just like a guy telling a dude, and I kind of wish they did a little more show, don't tell, but, like, literally to just explain to this guy. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how you can, like, start off with a guy waking up a new area, and he's, like, immediately, like, I'm just gonna find things out immediately, and, like, it shows you. It's like, no, these guys realistically would just be like, hey... This is how the rules work.
Here's what you do.
We have no memories, blah, blah. So I don't really know a way to write around it, but it does get a little tiring when he's like explaining literally everything.
One thing I think would be fun is like, hey, he's a newbie. Let's have him go out with one of the runners as like bait or whatever.
Bait?
So then he can, yeah.
That seems like, very mean, Mike. That seems very mean to use a new person as bait.
Does Gally seem like a nice guy to you? I don't.
Well, Gally's not in charge right now. Gally is.
Oh, he isn't in charge? Okay, he's in charge of me.
Albie's in charge. Albie's in charge.
Oh, okay. Albie wouldn't allow that, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just. Because that's what I would think is like put the new kid in as much danger as possible, and then he and the audience can learn things as they're sort of put in harm's way. Because I will say, I picked up all this in my half of the movie. Like, none of this, like. Just stating outright what was going on ever really was an issue. The other thing I feel like is annoying, you bring up the Grievers, and at this point we haven't seen them yet. Everyone's like, the Grievers, and the Grievers, and everyone's like, no one's seen them and lived to tell the tale. I'm like, okay, so you're telling the audience they're dangerous, but you're not actually establishing how dangerous they are. Like, it'd be great if... You know, maybe before he comes across one or whatever, and it like chops a tree down with its fucking tail or something. You know, like really, like visibly establish how scary these things are, rather than just being here told
or
that they
like
are to be.
There
avoided.
Are two runners that show up, right? And the gate closes, and it's like, ooh, the spooky gate's there. What if there was a runner in the back, and he gets fucking murdered, and you see him get killed?
Yeah,
I get
murked by a fucking griever.
But the rules are also the grievers don't come out during the. Daytime, so that won't quite work anyway in like a way. So
they only come out at night,
supposedly, but that's one of the things that changes, and they're like, oh shit, the rules have changed. But anyway, so let's see.
Anyway, no, but I agree with you.
Yeah,
I wonder if it's different in the book, if they're just making this simple for the film because they're trying to like lower, because this is a relatively short film.
I also think that the medium of a book. Something like a tell, the whole thing is a tell don't show, right? Like you're telling everything, like you're reading a book. So like reading, reading people say, like explaining things to you is not as like boring, I think, as like when you're seeing it visually on a screen. I think it works a little bit better in a book format. So I think it's just something, I don't know how you'd fix that when you're adapting this to screen. Except,
yeah.
And if they change too much, you know, people are going to get mad. Because this is like...
People will be upset.
Because I think, honestly, this is when they started getting really good about, well, not really good, but like started adapting books to movies and being like way more accurate because they had the technology to be like, we're just gonna match whatever dystopia. Like the Hunger Games book is like super, super similar to the movie. Like there's almost no differences. Mm. There's like little tiny ones, but that's about it. So
yeah,
I imagine it's probably very similar to this.
Right. They don't want to upset fans by casting a black girl as a character that wasn't established as black.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what they don't
like
in
the Hunger Games movies.
I like the Hunger Games movies. They learned from that future mistake. Oh, man. I forgot that was a whole thing.
I'll never forget, because it was so funny when it was just like, everyone was like, I love the Hunger Games. It's all about this and that and the other thing. And then you see all these fans getting all up in arms, like, I don't like that they made this character a black girl. And I'm like, what the fuck is that happening? Why are people so upset about this?
Also, that, like, anyway. Also the books apparently got more, people kept, like, not understanding that, like, it was kind of a reference to modern times and actual, like, real dictatorship. And so they had to be, like, more and more overt as time goes on and be like, guys, come on now. This isn't just a metaphor. This is a metaphor for real times. Hello.
Yep. Yep. And then they're like, oh, I hate that they're including politics in my Hunger Games books.
That's the thing about Maze Runner. No politics so far. Nope. Just internal
so
politics.
So far, there's nothing. It's just a bunch of boys hanging out in a maze.
Yeah. Why are they there? I don't know. We have no context.
Who knows?
So because there's no context, there's literally nothing political. Perfect movie. Couldn't make this
perfect
in the age
movie.
Of woke. Couldn't. There's no
checkmate
way.
Atheists.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, so he's being walked around and showing the different, like, I almost feel like cliques, but they're like jobs. They have like a job system almost. Like, these are the builders. They're good with their hands, but not good with their heads. And I'm like, I feel like builders need to be really good with their heads, actually.
With both.
Unless
they need to be able to.
Unless there's an architect in the back doing everything and they're just literally like, Oonga Boonga, I'll bring the bricks over.
These
here.
Are the builders, and then this is the guy who actually runs the
build. That's what I thought they would do.
Yeah.
And then there's these guys called the slicers, and it's just like, and then there's the medic guys who help the slicers when they slice themselves. Mm. And I'm like, what do the slicers do? They must be like butchers, but they call them slicers, I think.
Oh, so they just make food?
I guess so. I don't know. So anyway, there's the runners. No one wants to be a runner.
Because it's too dangerous.
It's too dangerous. And then Galley's there, and he's like fighting some guys by a fire, and they have a whole thing where they're pushing people out of a ring. So they get little Green Bean. He gets in there to fight. They peer pressure him to fight, and they push him around a bit. And he's a scrappy guy. You know, Galley's he's putting up a fight with Galley.
Galley's a big boy.
He's a big guy, and he's still like, you don't remember your name? He's like, stop calling me Greenie. He's like, what do you want me to call? I'm going to call you Shank, which sounds like it's derogatory, and wherever they come from, it seems like it's a bad thing. So he's like, I want to call you Shank. But then our little greenie boy gets hit on the ground, and his head hits the ground. And then he gets up, and he's like, I remember my name. My name is Thomas. And everyone's like, yay.
Oh, my God.
And then spooky sounds. I wrote spooky dragon sounds happen. They're like, it's a graver. And then we flash back. I guess Thomas is asleep. There's little flashbacks that he's like, everything, some lady's talking. It's like, everything's going to change.
Yeah.
And it's going to be weird. And you see, like, weird little, like, kind of like surgery situation, it looks like. It's like this guy's going under for something. So he remembers a little bit, but not everything.
Yeah. He's literally like drip feeding the story, the backstory to the audience and himself.
He's like, don't worry, guys. There's more here. It's not just this. We're going to tell you at some point. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Albie's like, hey, man. So, like, I was the first one to come up here. We're having peace right now. It's going well. But it used to be awful. We used to have, like, fighting. There's a lot of dead people here. Like, a lot of boys lost their lives just for, like, stupid reasons. And he's like, why are you telling me this, dude? He's like, because, Thomas, you're not like the others. You have, like, a bunch of... You have a desire to, like, go through the maze and everything. Like, you're not like them. Everyone else just wants to survive, but you're like, I want to explore.
Right.
And he sees a wall with a bunch of names on it, and he's like, who are these names? He's like I said, dark times, dude. It's all the dead people. Come on now. It's obvious.
These are all the dead,
It's all the dead. And Thomas just keeps asking people, like, why doesn't, like, someone, like, stand on the platform and then, like, wait to go down and, like, try to go down there and see what they're doing? They're like, we already tried that. And he's like, what about this? He's like, we already tried it. We tried all these things. We've been here for years, you idiot.
Yeah.
Which is a little...
fucking moron.
Which is funny because I'm like, yeah, he hasn't, like, he's trying all these things. I'm like, what is he going to do that's new? Because someone who's been here for 3 years, there's some stuff I'm like, have you really tried everything? Like, I'll get to a point where I'm like, wait a second. Anyway,
The movie even establishes this too. Like at one point, there's a great line where Gally's like, you've been here for like 3 days. I've been here for 3 years. I know what's best. And then Thomas retorts, you've been here for 3 years and we're still here. So clearly whatever you're doing isn't working.
Yeah.
Like you're still trapped. Yeah. And it's like, I think that's a fair point.
Yep. 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 So I sent Thomas to go do some work, get some fertilizer. It's out in the middle of the woods, which is really scary. And like in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, this is a huge woods just in this giant like glade. I didn't realize that like a woods is big.
Well, yeah, there's the glade, the woods, there's all these different locations.
Sure, yeah, I guess.
The field.
Even though it's like a single shot where you can see all the like corners of the maze. So I'm like, it's big, but it doesn't seem that big. But
yeah,
anyway, he's walking around there. He sees a shrine for someone named George and some bones near it. And then we got this scary runner guy. He's looking at them all weird. By the way, the runners look like they're all dressed like Nathan Drake, and I couldn't get over that.
They do get
all like got the Nathan Drake outfit going on, which I'm
yeah, like the pants and all that,
and the like the overalls, or not the overalls, but like the straps, and but they have no guns, so it's just kind of weird. Anyway, but this guy, his name is Ben. He's like, oh hey Ben, nice to meet you. And he's like, Ben just goes, it's your fault, I saw you. And then he tries to attack Thomas, knocks him over, and then starts like beating him up or trying to choke him out. But then Thomas gets away. He runs really fast because he's gonna be a runner, I guess. And then he gets back to his crew and they all tackle Ben, the other guy, and they lift his shirt and he's got a weird wound on him, and they're like, he's been stung. And they're like, put him in the pin. And they're like, Thomas is like, what's gonna happen to him? And he's like, well, what happens is they start changing. We don't know what they change into, but they start getting weird. And like, ever since it happens, like, we can't get a clear word out of them. He's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen to them? So the next scene, we see them all with like sticks pushing him into the maze. And then they throw his stuff into the maze. And then they're like, get in there. And he goes into the maze and the maze shuts on itself. And they let him basically die. And they say, Albie's like, he belongs to the maze now. And then they write his name on the wall. Or I think they cross it out, actually, because maybe that's all the people that are
they
there.
They do. They cross it out. Yeah. They add names to the wall, and then they cross it out when they die.
I don't know if they ever added Thomas to the wall, now that I think about it.
Well, nobody likes him yet.
You don't get the wall
privilege.
If he dies,
nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got to save it for the people they like on the wall.
Yeah. And Tom,
you're right out of room.
And Thomas is like, hey, man, we should go save him. And Chuck's like, nah, forget it. Like, you'll feel better if you just forget about that guy. And then we get flashbacks of Thomas. Wicked is good. I wrote that down.
Wicked is good.
Everything is going to change. Flashback with, it looks like he's on the bed, like an operating table with a girl. And they say, you have to choose. And now Albie is there. He's going to go run and retrace Ben's footsteps for some reason, I guess to see like maybe where he got stung. So Albie's actually going running.
I'm
going
to go to see and then I'll avoid it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was like, all right. And then this is when they actually reveal Albie was on the first ones. And they say, and he's like, my philosophy is most people, the most important thing is that we have each other.
Aww.
And then they say, you know, it's getting late. And Thomas is like, what happens if they don't make it? And they're like, don't worry, they'll make it. And then we see our guy Minho come in.
He's a runner.
He's a runner. And he's.
And he rocks.
He's cool.
Minho rocks.
Minho run, or is running. Well, he's not really running. He's actually carrying Albie because Albie looks like he's kind of dead. And they're like, oh, shit, no. But the base is closing. And like, oh, my God, we're not going to make it. We're going to die. And he's trying to run towards the door, trying to, like, I guess more like hobble because he's got Albie on him. And Thomas is like, he's got eyes that are so big. He's just like, and he runs through into the maze, and then it closes behind him. And I'm like, wow. And I was like, good job, dude. You got yourself killed. Now we're all going to die. I'm like, what happened to Albie? He's like, oh, he got stung. And then Minho says, I had to do what I had to do. So I'm like, did he knock him out or did he kill him? It looks like he knocked him out.
He didn't kill him.
Yeah, it looks like
he just knocked him out. He didn't kill him.
So they're like, we got to hide his body. He's like, where? There's no place to hide him here. And they actually use this thing where they tie him up in like ropes and then they raise him up.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wait, why'd you say oh like that? Oh, yeah.
It's scary.
It is scary.
It's a lot of rope to have just to tear.
I know. Well, they
up.
Tie him up because the maze itself has a lot of like branches and like climbing ivy and things like that. So they kind of like put him against that up higher, so it's not obvious that he's just, like laying on the ground or anything. So they put him up high. And during this time, they're trying to get him up as high as they can. But we see him. We see the motherfucking Griever, and it's this
oh we finally see a Griever.
They are like They kind of look like Men in Black aliens.
Yeah.
They're just... I gotta say...
They're like a weird mix of, like, large bugs from Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
But then they also have some kind of, like, robotic, like, scorpion tail.
Is it just the tail, or is it their whole legs? Or is it all their legs?
I think their legs are, too. So it's almost like their midpoint... Their heads and their thoraxes are, like, bugs.
Yeah.
Or some kind of, like, weird giant species. And then their legs and their tails are robotic.
Yeah, they're bug-like, but they don't look as, like, exoskeleton-y. They look a little more fleshy than, like, a bug.
Yeah,
but they still have that same
fleshy
vibe.
Yeah,
it's decent character design, a decent creature design. You know,
they actually look pretty good, honestly. Yeah. Like good designs, and also like the effects are pretty good across the board as well. Like when they're next to the boys, like I am genuinely afraid for those kids' lives.
Yeah,
rather than just being like, oh wow, look at that effect, sitting in front of them.
Yeah, it's all right. It looks not bad.
Yeah.
Thomas is there. And he's looking at him, but then Mino sees the Griever, and he's like, oh, shit. And he just, like, runs. And Thomas hides somehow against all the ivy, and it, like, kind of works. But then the monster kind of, like, gets near him and starts chasing him. So what he does is he runs on top of the maze, which I was like, is this the first time anyone's ever thought of this? But they just climb up it. They just climb up and chase him on top of the maze because he climbed on the vines.
Right.
I noticed they have little medical arms, and they try to sting you. Which is probably how they get all those kids got stung, and then he gets stuck in the vines, and then luckily he gets out, but then he makes sure that the creature gets stuck in the vines too, so he gets a little bit of time to run away. Minho finds Thomas and is like, hey, come here, we can lose him down here, the maze. So the maze at night changes every night, so lots of things open and close and everything. So at this moment, one corridor is closing. Like, we lose him down here. But actually, what Thomas does, he turns around and kind of taunts it and is like, you little fuck, get over here. And puts his little finger on him and says, you naughty little bug, I'm going to get you. You can't get me. And he runs right before the door shut.
Oh, thing closes.
And it closes and it crushes the creature. But we don't quite see it. We don't know what happens. All we see is the doors open the next day. And Chuck is there, and he's like, oh, they're going to be here. And everyone's like, no, Chuck, no one's coming back, says Newt. But then some random kid's like, look. And they see him, and they're coming through. Minho and Thomas and
Albie
are there. And they're Albie's being carried, and they're like, oh, shit. And they're like, did you guys see a griever? Minho's like, we didn't just see it. He killed it. And I'm like,
oh, shit.
In 3 years, no one thought to squish it between these giant mechanical doors? I guess not.
Nobody did. Never ever thought of that concept.
Never thought of that.
And then somebody goes, I'll be damned.
I'll be damned. So the thing that's weird is, so Ben, he came back. He was a runner, right? The last guy got crazy. Right. They were worried about why he got stung because it was during the daytime. That's what changed everything.
Yes.
That's why he kind of came back and was stung. Most of the time they just get stung and they're either like, it's night or they're coming back and they die or something like that. But this is the first time it was in the day, which is weird that the grievers are coming out during the day. And that is why Albie went in there and then himself got stung. And now they have this whole situation. Albie's now being brought into a medical tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we call these guys the medics. They're really good with their brains, but not their brawn.
Honestly, I thought those might have been the slicers too, because I don't know.
Yeah, they're also.
Oh no, I guess no, because they said like these are the guys who patch up the slicers. They're like two guys, and it was very funny because they talked to him and they're like, is he gonna be okay? And it's like, I don't know. I got this job the same way you did. I don't fucking know. I'm just doing my best. I don't know if Albie's gonna be okay. It's not like a lot of training I got. Then they're having a discussion about how they're going to punish or if they're going to punish Thomas, and Golly's all for it. He's like, we got to punish him, put him in the cage.
What are you going to punish Thomas for?
For going in. He went into the maze. They have rules. They're never supposed to go into the maze unless they're runners.
Oh, that's so stupid.
Well, this is how they stay alive. They're all about like rules, rules, rules. And then someone breaks them. They got to punish him. Golly wants to do that. Newt actually says, fine, you can go into the box, but he comes back afterwards and we're going to make him a runner. And I'm like, how is Golly and Newt running this together? Like, they just kind of didn't say like I'm in charge now. They're just like kind of
right.
Doing it.
We don't really know what the politics are. No. If only somebody had stepped in and been like, okay, so this is our president. They're democratically elected, and these are the representatives that represent all the different.
If the
like,
president gets
bodies.
Stung, here's all the other people that take up space.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Minnow's like, I don't know. I don't think we should punish him at all because, like, he's the only one who went back and helped Albie. Like, I think we should really respect that. But anyway.
He killed the fucking Griever, guys.
I know. He
like,
did something we no one has ever done. And then they're like, fine, let's make him a runner. And there's a moment where they're like, let's chant, like, make him a runner. And Chuck tries chanting and no one else does. I thought that was very funny.
Poor Chuck.
And then, oh, my God, they sent up someone new from the box. It's a girl. And then the girl, her hand has a thing that says, a little note that says, she's the last one you'll get. Like, the last one forever. Like, we're not going to get sent anymore
people. Yeah, she's the last one is what it says.
She's the last one. So, I'm like, ooh, that's spooky. She then is like, wakes up a little bit. She starts saying, Thomas. And everyone's like, what? And they look at him.
Holy fuck.
And then she like fucking passes out again. And they take her to the medical tent along with Albie. They don't know why she's sleeping and like why she hasn't woken up yet, but that's okay. Thomas is like, I want to go back in the maze. I mean, I was like, are you serious, dude? Like, you really want to go back? And he's like, yeah, I do. We just found some new stuff. Aren't you interested? We just killed one. Let's go check out its body. And he's like, We're going to go with the other runners. And like, all the other runners quit because now that it's not safe. Like, during the day, there's no time to actually
run. It's really just going
to
be Minnow and fucking Thomas? That's it?
Eventually, they rally some people together. But yeah, it does seem like the idea is that it was going to be just them. So Minnow's like, you're not going to go alone. Let's do this. It's time to find out what we're really up against. So then they go with a few other runners. They go look at the Griever's body. It's like a gross thing of metal and flesh. It's all squished. There's something bleaking in it. And Minnow tries to grab it. And he gets scared and starts moving again. And then they're like, so he decides to just rip his arm off. And they look at this thing that's blinking. It looks like a bomb. It says 7 on it. And it a little thing that says, like, it says WCKD on it, which sounds like wicked.
It does sound a lot like wicked, like which wicked. Is very interesting. What could that mean?
I don't know, but I bet it's pretty good. So let's see. They mentioned that the markings on the bomb are the same as the supplies they get. So whoever sends this in also created these things, is what they concluded. So right.
Pretty good conclusion.
Yep. So they go back. They talk to Golly. He's like, you can't do all this without the rules. You have to follow the rules. Let's see. Oh, I guess
the kid who plays Golly is so good because he is really good at playing this guy who's just like, we gotta follow the rules. The rules have saved us, and you're like, you want to shake him and just go like, no, like clearly these things are just meant to keep us like still not safe necessarily, right? But like he really like the guy, the actor is really committing to this role, and it's actually really fun to watch.
Yeah,
He does a good job.
It's very realistic because it's not like he's insane. He doesn't act like a crazy person. He's just like. Yeah, dude, this is what we gotta do. Come on, man. Oh, fuck. All right. I'm gonna be a little mad about it, but what are we gonna do? And then, because now Thomas is part of the runners, they reveal a map.
The runners.
Minnow reveals this huge map made of sticks. They map the entire maze. All of it's been mapped already. There's nothing left to map, actually. If there was a way out, we would have found it by now.
The entirety of the maze.
They know the entirety of the maze. One thing they did notice, though, is that. During different times during the day, different sections are open. So there's like, I think 8 sections total. And whatever one was open. So section 7 was open. And we're thinking that number 7 with the bomb, it looks like, I'm going to keep calling it a bomb, even though it's probably not a bomb.
It's not a bomb. Let's call it a key.
A key. Okay, sure. That's a little interesting. I thought it was like maybe some sort of directive.
It looks like an explosive device, but they refer to it as a key later on in the movie.
Yeah. So... they say these are all the ones with all the sections open. Section 7 is the one that's open, so it makes it clear that probably this Griever came from Section 7. So maybe they have to go check that place out, because maybe the Griever there is dead. Right. I don't know. But regardless, the girl is woken up, but she is mad. She is on top of the tower throwing rocks at everyone. And then Thomas, they're like, well, you were saying my name. So Thomas is like, hey, what's up? I'm going to come up there. Please don't stab me. And she has a knife. Mm-hmm. She's like... hey, what's up? He's like, do you remember?
She doesn't have a knife. She has a machete.
Machete's a big knife.
It's a big fuck off knife. It would be really scary to be cut by that thing.
That's true. And minute. She's like, where am I? Why can't I remember anything? He's like, don't worry, I'll come back to you. Like, your name will come back to you. She's like, my name's Teresa. I already remember that. He's like, Teresa? She's like, yeah. Like, apparently, I kept saying, you're Thomas. I kept saying your name in my sleep. And then that's the end of my half.
Yeah. Yes. And so, he's like, you kept saying my name, but she's like, I don't know who you are. I was not aware that I was saying your name. I don't recognize you at all. I didn't know that was your name. And then, so Thomas is like, clearly I'm not getting anywhere. And then all the boys at the bottom are like, hey, is she coming down or what? Like, they're trying to figure out like what her whole deal is. Some of the boys are like, is this what all girls are like? Girls are crazy. And Gally's immediately suspicious, not just of this new girl, but now knowing that she said Thomas's name, she's like, these two are in cahoots with each other. Like, there's something going on between these two.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. And so they talk about the note. Neither of them understand what's going on. They don't know what she's the last one means on the note because she doesn't remember anything before any of this. Mm-hmm. She says, he's like, do you like what do you remember anything at all? And she's like, I remember water. I remember people staring at me. And I remember saying something like wicked is good or something.
Okay.
And Thomas starts repeating this back and going like, I've been dreaming the same thing. And then he's like, I think I might have also been dreaming of you. Like, I think you're in my dreams as well. She's like the girl from the dreams.
Yeah,
I guess,
probably.
Basically. Yeah. And then she's like, also, by the way, I have these on me. And she pulls out these like vials or like shots, like giant like shots of some kind of liquid. And on the side, it says WCKD on it.
It's good.
Wicked is good.
Wicked is good.
And so they're like, okay, good to know. They just sort of put them away in their little pocket. And they're just like, wait a minute. Wicked is good. This says wicked on it. Maybe this is going to be the cure for Albie.
Yeah, that's what I would
think. So they're like, let's go. Yeah, so they go and they go give it to Albie, who's dying. They like inject him with the vials. Teresa is actually the one that injects him. And then it seems like he's a lot better. He's not like screaming or shaking or grabbing people. So that's
usually
great.
Usually good.
But now it's dark. And so Gally's like, sundown, greeny, time to go. So he's brought back to his little like bamboo jail cell.
Yeah.
And Thomas is like, Gally, what the fuck is your problem with me? Like, clearly you don't like me. And Gally's like, I don't trust you, Thomas. Everything started going wrong when you showed up. So I'm suspicious of you. And then he puts him in the little prison. Uh-huh. And then he leaves. And then Chuck shows up. And Chuck's like, hey, man, you might need some food before you go out and go for a run tomorrow. So he's brought him food. Chuck's brought Thomas some food.
Really cool guy.
Chuck's a good kid. Yeah, I like this kid. And then he starts like playing with something in his hands. And Thomas's like, what are you playing with up there? And he's like, it's a little figurine my parents gave me. And it's like this little like strange.
My parents gave me.
Almost looks
Do
like
you know a, your parents?
That's my question. It's very strange because then Thomas is like, do you remember your parents? And he's like, no, I don't remember them, but I know I must have them. But I'm like, well, then how do you know your parents gave you this figurine? Like,
who else would
have just because you have a anybody.
Yeah, I guess your brother, your sister, your friend.
Anybody.
Anyone.
Could have just, well, was it just in your pocket when you showed up? That doesn't mean your parents gave them to you. Basically, this is the thing that's like keeping him holding on. And he's just like, I gotta give this back to my parents. I gotta find my parents and give this back to them. And, you know,
such a weird
Thomas
side quest.
Is like, hey, it's very strange. And Thomas is like, don't worry, I'm gonna find a way out. And then Chuck gives the figurine to Thomas. And it's like, when you find a way out, can you give this to my parents? And then Thomas is like, you need to hold on to this because you're gonna give it to them when we get out together. Because it's not just gonna be me and
Chuck's
Mino
gonna fucking die.
Yeah, I was literally just about to ask, is Chuck going to die? And you are 100% right. But the question is, how is Chuck going to die? You know, but you're
Chuck
right.
Chuck is definitely going to die.
Chuck is absolutely going to fucking die. Because no character is just like, I can't wait. Can you please give this to them? And then someone's like, you're going to give this to them yourself. And then they actually end up doing
it. It's just like in Hunger Games when they kill Rue, who's basically like an innocent character. And it's just like a child. Yeah. And they're like, we have to kill the most nice, innocent person, which is Chuck, who pooped his pants three times when he got here.
He chucked his pants. Yeah. So walls open as Thomas and Mino go to explore the maze together, the two of them. They run through the maze. They make it to number 7, which, according to Mino, isn't supposed to be open for another week. It's not supposed to be open right now, but it is open right now. But they do have that little mechanical thing on them. They also find some bloody ripped up clothes among what they refer to as the blades, which is, I guess, these like bladed walls that sort of open and close depending on like what day it is.
Okay.
And then Thomas is like, the griever must have pulled them down here. Now, I don't know fucking anything. So I just hear like the grievers like, must have gotten him. And I'm just like, okay, grievers? Like, are these like mourners?
Are these people who are very sad? I don't know.
Yeah. So a device in Minnow's backpack starts beeping. Thomas thinks that it's showing them the way. This is why I refer to it as a key, because they pull out what you think is a bomb. They pull it out and it starts beeping with a higher and higher frequency or when they're facing a certain direction. So it's some kind of like GPS basically leading them somewhere. It brings them to a large indoor walkway. On the wall it says loading bay on it. And then the device like starts opening doors for them, like hatches and giant metal walls. And then finally opens like one big hole in a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever's in there just scans them. And then all the doors start closing and the blades that they're walking through start sliding close, nearly cutting them as they run in between them. And the ground below them starts opening up as they run on it. Walls are falling, crushing them. It's very scary and very dangerous. And then they end up crawling through a closing passageway. They nearly get crushed, but they have escaped, and they're back in, you know, outside the maze, but within the middle point, right? So they're back home basically, and they're like, we must have found like the griever's home or something, like that must be what it is, right? Because this was attached to one of the grievers. We went back there, we got, you know, scanned, and then everything started closing up, so there must be what's going on here. And Gally is like, I don't think you found a way out. I think you've put us all in danger, is basically what he's saying. And Thomas, this is what I've mentioned before. Thomas is like, you've been here for 3 years and you haven't found a way out. Like, I think your way is not working, basically.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, everyone, Albie's awake. And they go meet Albie, and Albie says, none of you guys are leaving here.
Whoa.
And then he says, I remember everything. He says, I remember my name. I remember everything. And then he looks over at Thomas and he says, Thomas, you were their favorite. And then everyone's like, what the fuck? And then he like reaches out, he grabs Thomas and he says, Thomas, why did you do this? Why did you come here? And then they're like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And everyone leaves. And I'm like, maybe like ask Albie a couple more questions.
Yeah, get a
like,
little couple more clarifications here.
Maybe some follow up. But then suddenly in the middle of the night, all the doors of the maze just start opening up. And all the boys are getting jumpy because I guess that never usually happens.
Well, that means all the reavers are going to get in.
Exactly. So the grievers, all the reavers start coming out of the maze.
I was thinking about, aren't the reavers in fucking Firefly? I think that's what they're called.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so the grievers start coming out and they start attacking them at night. And Thomas tells Chuck, like, go run to the council hall and barricade the doors. And suddenly out of the maze, all these, I didn't know what they were. So I just wrote down weird bug looking monster robot things. But then I realized what they are. They're grievers.
Yeah.
So the grievers come out and I just wrote down utter chaos. I wrote down, honestly, these things look very cool and dangerous and fast. Good effects. Like they light one on fire and like the fire looks really good. Ooh. Like these are really cool effects. Some boys, including Chuck, Thomas, Minnow, Albie, and Teresa, are all held up inside like a wicker wood shelter for safety.
Uh-huh.
And the grievers start busting in, and one of them ends up grabbing Chuck by the leg or whatever and starts pulling at him. And they nearly inject him with like this like injector thing, like sort of like a with a what is it, a scorpion tail?
Yeah.
So that's sort of like how they try to do it. Like a syringe. So a giant metal syringe is going to inject Chuck, but then Albie shows up. Starts fucking whacking the tail and destroying it, ripping it apart. And so, like, that little syringe thing pops off of the tail. And the tail slides back out of the wicker basket. And Chuck is saved. But then Albie gets grabbed and taken away.
Oh, no. Our character with all the knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. But before he leaves, he tells Thomas, get them all out of here. And then he leaves and he dies. And so now the grievers are gone. I think they did this because maybe Albie knew all this information. He wasn't supposed to know anything, but now Albie's gone, so all the grievers have left, and everyone's just sort of walking around, looking around. They're like, wow, nobody's around anymore. Like, it seems like everyone might have died. And then Gally comes up and just fucking smacks Thomas right in the fucking face. Ugh. And yeah, and he's just like, you fucking asshole, it's all because of you, like, you did this. And Thomas is like, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's happening. And he's like, but I think I know how to know. And he takes that syringe that came off of the tail of the scorpion griever thing, and he injects himself with
Whoa.
It.
And then he's
and
gonna
so,
use
yeah, thing. And because they have another one of those wicked vials, mm-hmm. they can, like, inject him with that so he doesn't get sick or whatever. But because he knows that's what Albie used, or how Albie was able to remember, he does that to himself. So here's – I'm going to start telling you what's going on. What do you think is happening, Ethan? What's your guess?
Okay, so it's tough because I just don't know the reason why they're in there at all. Like, I don't know what the purpose would be and what they're trying to find. I feel like maybe it's something about...
I'll tell you this. Right now, we don't know the purpose, but, like, do you have any ideas to, like, why Thomas and Teresa seem different?
They're going in to basically be the Adam and Eve surrogate and start a new whole family of people because, like, I don't think humanity is, like, poisoned or something, and they're going into this new area to try and... get these grievers, to maybe inject them. And each time they inject them, maybe it's to get them to ascend to the next level of humanity. I don't know, man. I'm grasping at straws.
Boy, I'm not, honestly, you're very close.
Really? Okay.
you're surprisingly close. You've actually kind of already guessed the second twist that's coming up. But right now, here's the big okay. one. So how is Thomas and Teresa special? Well, wouldn't you know it, Ethan?
They're related.
No, that would have been awesome. No, they worked for Wicked.
Okay.
They were helping trap and choose children
Whoa.
To put into the maze.
That's crazy. Okay.
So, like, when they say that they saw people in water or whatever, those are, like, Gally and Chuck and Albie and all them. So they were making decisions as to who, like, what kid should come into the maze and not. And it okay. seems as if Thomas was second guessing working for them, basically, and was like, I can't just send these children to die anymore. And Teresa, I think that's why she's like, you have to choose. I think that's why she says that.
Oh, maybe.
And so then that's, I guess he tried to, like, rebel against Wicked, the WCKD, which sounds almost like a radio station, try to rebel against them. And then that's why he was brought here. And that's why he's different. And that's why Teresa, you know, said his name, because she knew him as well from before. Basically.
Interesting. I mean, that's,
so Thomas
that's
comes
twist.
To,
okay.
It's a great twist. So Thomas comes to and is told by Newt and Chuck and all these other people that basically Gally has used fear and suspicion to take control. So now that Albie's gone, Gally's got complete control over everybody. And he says that he's planning on banishing Thomas and Teresa because they seem different and he's suspicious of them. And anyone
he's
who disagrees
wrong.
Is also... Well, so this is actually the thing that I'm kind of, like, love about this is, like, Gally is not a good guy.
No.
But he is right. Like, he is actually right most of the time.
Yeah.
It's just that he goes about, his
fears. He's only, like, not a good guy because... of something that's, like, totally normal to react to, right? Like, from his perspective, he's not really wrong. Like, there are new people here. Things have been going weird ever since they arrived. I don't trust him.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the way he go about it, and he should maybe talk to him more about what's going on and be like, can we get
And it has resulted in, like, the deaths of innocents, you know?
Multiple
like,
people,
so, yeah. But, yeah, it's like, and this continues. Like, Gally is, like, he's not, like... I mean, he's not great. He's not a good kid, honestly.
No.
He's not. Like, he really needs to go about these things in better ways. But, like, his suspicions are kind of founded.
Yes.
And so...
I don't think he's a crazy character. I think that's the thing. It's like, I believe every reason he's come up with distrust is like, yeah, it makes sense. I buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would probably distrust these kids as well.
Yeah.
All right. So then Thomas ends up going like, all right, fam. He tells this to Newt and Chuck and Minnow. And I guess to Teresa as well, because she's also in the prison with him. He says, here's what's going on. This ain't a prison. It's a test. They are experimenting on us. They're experimenting on children. And then he's like, I did this to you. We did this to you. And I even throws, like, Teresa under the bus. And I'm just sort of like, I wouldn't. I know that you know Teresa did this, but I would tell her, like, privately
that
she was part of this. I wouldn't
say
this to, like, no, I wouldn't say this to everybody. But basically he says this to everyone. And then Newt says, the people before the people we were before the maze don't exist anymore. What matters is who and what we do now, is what he says. And so even after hearing all this, these three end up still siding with Teresa and Thomas. They're still just like, we know that you probably did wrong before all this. You're probably the reason we're here. Nope. But, you know, we believe that you want what's best for us. And, you know, you're not going to betray us and stuff like that. So and then the banishment, like, process begins. They take Teresa and Thomas out to the entrance of the maze or whatever. And but I'm like, even though it's been established that Gally has apparently convinced everyone that, like, these two are evil, there's still a lot of people who end up going like, hey, maybe this is wrong. Like, maybe Thomas is actually okay. Like, and I'm like, okay, so it doesn't sound like he's actually really convinced them. No. It just sounds like he's like scared them into going against him, basically. But Gally says, Thomas is like, we might be able to get home. Like, we might be able to get through this maze and get back home. And Gally's like, no, we are home. This is our home now.
So that guy doesn't want any change. He's a real conservative guy. He's like, what we have is
yeah,
okay.
No, 100%. Yeah. And then, but then Gally's like, I'm not going to banish you. We're offering you to the Grievers. Mm. We're going to tie you up onto these, like, spikes. And we're going to have the Grievers come and they'll, like, kill you and eat you. And very rude. And hopefully that'll resolve things. And then, luckily, Thomas, Minnow, and Chuck, and all his other kids had a plan, a secret plan, and they all end up, you know, cutting, you know, the restraints, and they all go against Gally, and they all fight back. And they're like, we are going to go. We're going to go into that maze, and we're going to find an exit, and we're going to get back home. And he's like, if anyone wants to join us, feel free. You can stay here with Gally if you want. But we're going in that maze. You're not offering us up. You're not going to kill us and leave us to the Grievers. Okay. And a bunch of kids end up actually joining Thomas. They're like, you know what? Maybe this kid has a plan that might work, you know? And they even start apologizing to Gally, like, as they all enter the maze. They're just like, bye, Gally.
See you later.
Yeah. So Thomas and Minnow lead the group through the maze. They do this cool thing where, like, Thomas is in the front and Minnow's in the back to ensure that nobody, like, falls behind. Mm-hmm. And they all take on a Griever together. There's a Griever that's, like, blocking the door that they know exists in Section 7 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they push a Griever off a ledge, and then a bunch of other Grievers start crawling up the ledge. And although some random kids die, I want to say like 3 or 4, no main characters are dead. No, they make it to the inner door, and there's a code, like a circular code on the, so it's almost like an escape room,
right?
where Teresa and Chuck are like, we need the code. And Minnow's like, I don't know what I've not seen a code. And then they're like, oh wait, Minnow, you know the sequence to the maze because you know the maze so well. You know what the sequence is. Can you tell us what the sequence is? So he tells them what the sequence is. That ends up opening the door.
The sequence to the maze being like how you run across the maze is like, so you go to
I think it's the sections that open up.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So then that is the code. The door opens up and then all these stone walls fall down and just crush every single Griever in front of them.
Convenient.
And they're fine. Very, very convenient. And the remaining kids, all named characters, have lived. So no main characters have died here. They all walk through and they enter in. It looks like a long industrial tunnel with like pipes. And they walk through that. And then they reach what looks like some kind of government facility. Mm-hmm. With like it's kind of what we've been seeing in the flashbacks with like the monitors and all that stuff. But strangely, everyone is dead.
Oh.
In the government facility. So there's gunshots, there's corpses, there's blood everywhere. No one is alive or monitoring anything. They're all just fucking dead. Everyone's dead. There's blood and bullet holes everywhere. So something went fucking south.
Oh, okay.
And then there's like sparks. And then they like reach like a monitor and they press a button. And we get Dr. Ava Page, who's this like older white blonde woman. And she says, this is like a pre-recorded video, and she's there to explain everything about to those who have completed the maze trials. She's like, I'm happy that you've completed the maze trials, and I wish I was there to congratulate you, but sadly I'm unable to do that, so this pre-recording will help. I'm Dr. Ava Page with the world... Oh, wait. What do you think WCKD stands for?
Oh, WCKD. World...
I've already given the first word away.
Yeah, world... Care, no. World Care Crafter.
Dopes. Crafter with a K.
Crafter with a K. It's funky. They want to make it fun. They're rebranding, you know. Wicked is good.
They're rebranding.
Good. No. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's World Catastrophe Kill Zone Department.
What the fuck? Kill Zone Department?
World Catastrophe Kill Zone Department. And I'm just like, man, I know. I mean, we are living in 2026 now, so like irony and all that's fucking dead. But you'd think you would, like, make a government department, and then you'd be like, huh, this sure looks like the word wicked. Maybe we shouldn't name our government department something that is has, like, a negative connotation. But whatever, you know, we live in the dumbest
Department of War time now, so, you know, things are different.
We live in Doge time now, you know? So she says, so here's everything, Ethan. She says, everything that has happened for a reason, even if you don't remember what the reason is. So here's what's been going on, kids. Global warming caused...
That's not like, real, though, Mike. That doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah, that's not real.
It's not a real thing.
Gallie definitely doesn't believe in it. She says global warming caused many of us lives. Like, the sun, like, burnt and scorched everything. And then... the flare happened. The flare was an incurable virus that attacks the brain. And that's the flashbacks you're seeing of people like on like hospital beds and shit.
Okay.
That's them dealing with the flare. That's also what like Albie was dealing with.
Okay.
And what Ben, I guess, was dealing with before that. However, they say a new generation was surviving the virus. New children that were coming out were surviving the virus. And in order to find it, in order to find the cure to the virus, what they would do is they would use the young and they would test them and test their brain activity. And they try to figure out what makes them different. Okay. They put them through trials, put them through a maze where they have to survive.
Uh-huh.
To me, it seems a little bit extreme. I don't know if I would have put them in
that's kind of like next level. Like, we got to make them survive. I'm like, okay, but why don't they just do that differently? I guess maybe if they don't know anything, maybe it's more ethical in their mind. I don't know.
But so Dr. Eva Page says that progress was very slow and people were very scared about what would result in this. And as she's, this is actually one of the cooler parts of the movie too, she's like establishing what's going on. She seems very calm, but in the background you're seeing like all these doctors. She's in the room that they're currently in, and behind her you see all these doctors sort of just like, at first they're doing their jobs, but then you start noticing them sort of like running around or like pressing buttons very quickly. And then suddenly behind her you start seeing doctors getting fucking like shot and like explosions going off, but she's sitting completely still. And then these guys with like giant machine guns end up busting into the government facility behind her and shooting at the glass. And then she's like, I'm so sorry I couldn't have been there. But, you know, you've survived the maze trials, so good for you. And then she pulls a fucking gun out and just shoots herself in the fucking
Whoa.
Head right in front of these children. Yeah. So that apparently this all happened pretty recently. And then suddenly another door, after this video is all done, another door opens and it offers them escape to the outside world. And everyone's a little nervous, but ultimately they're like, we got to get out of here. We got to go. We got to leave and see what's going on out there. And then they stop because they hear Gally behind them. And Gally's like, you're not going anywhere. And he's got a gun. And he's pointing it at everybody.
Oh, no.
But the reason he's doing this is because he got stung. So he's dealing with this fucking mind virus. And he's like, I can't allow you guys to leave. And he points the gun at Thomas. And Gally's like, we belong in the maze. And then he fucking shoots at Thomas. What do you think happens next?
Tom, let's see. I think, oh boy, there's so many options of what.
Yeah, just,
I think Teresa gets in the way and pushes him and then takes the bullet herself.
You're so close.
It's
you're
Chuck. So close. Chuck does it. Chuck hasn't
there
died
you
yet.
Go.
Chuck hasn't died yet.
Chuck jumps right in the fucking line of fire and he dies just as Minnow throws a spear at Gally, killing him.
Wow.
So Gally dies, Chuck dies, and just as Chuck is passing away, he gives the little figurine to Thomas.
Ooh.
And he thanks him, and then he dies, and then Thomas is like, no, not you,
no,
Chuck.
No, my favorite
and
character. He pooped his pants so many times.
My favorite character, Chuck the Innocent. And then suddenly men with guns bust into the government facility, and they round up all the boys, And Thomas doesn't want to leave Chuck's body behind, but anyway, he's eventually grabbed by some of the guys with guns, and they're thrown into a helicopter, and the guy in the helicopter is like, "You're safe now, relax, kid. Everything's going to change," he says, and the helicopter flies away, and we see the entirety of the maze, and we see what's outside the maze. So we see inside the center of the maze is where all the boys were staying, and it's like grass and like trees and nature. Gorgeous. And then we see the actual maze and all the different sections, and then right outside the maze, endless desert, complete barren wasteland ruin. And I just wrote down, Gally was right. Like, this is kind of the best, safest place to be. Like, if you escape this place of, like, you know, they can grow plants, they can, like, they get fed. Outside here is fucking
well,
nothing.
To be fair,
it's
they did say
desert.
A thing that said, like, this is the last you'll get. And it was made implied that they're not going to get any more supplies to live. So,
yeah, but they can still grow, right? They can still grow plants.
Yeah. So what must have happened is they set her up last, right? Right before all that stuff happened, to be like as a way to kind of protect her or something. And then, yeah, and then they're like, there's nothing else because we're going to get shut down.
But, Ethan, you see, there's just one more twist up this movie's sleeve.
Another twist.
Then we cut from the desert. We cut to an evil, dark-looking board meeting with all these people sitting on either side of the table. Oh, and at the head of the table, there's no chair. There's an empty chair. And then we hear, like, footsteps coming down the table. And then enters the blonde lady from the Dr. Ava Page, mm-hmm. the blonde lady that shot herself. And at first I'm like, oh, this must be like a flashback or something. And then she turns and we see that she's wiping fake blood off the side of her head. So that suicide video is complete fake. And she says, the trials were a success. Thomas continues to surprise and impress. They have, for now, taken the bait. And then soon they could be the key to everything. It's time to begin phase 2. And that's the
we're still maze running, baby. Where are we going?
Yeah.
I would love it if they just went through the desert, they flew, and they're like, well, this is the end of the desert. It's another maze.
Yeah, right. Just a bigger maze. That is what I think, right? Is like they're done with the maze trials, but there's probably other trials that have been set up.
We didn't get too much
information
about like what the Grievers are really, right?
No, we had no information about the
Grievers. Because I was like, "What? Why do they need big guys to come and stab people with that?" You know?
I don't know. I honestly, here's my thinking. I think they're all lying. Like, obviously, they've been lying about, you know, them like all dying and her committing suicide and all that. I don't think this fucking thing about like the end of the world and the fucking virus. I don't think this shit's real either. I think that there's some bigger conspiracy going on, and they're just feeding us lies.
I would love it though if they're just like, we didn't know how to end the book, so we just kind of put like, don't worry, there's something else coming, we'll figure out what's next.
Yeah. I wonder how much of this is like pre, because, and also like the words that they're using are all very like concerning, where they're just like, they took the bait, Thomas continues to surprise and impress. I'm like, what's the bait? Like, they cut to like the little figurine that Chuck had, and that when they say the word bait, and I'm like, is that what the bait is? Like, what is the bait?
The bait
and
is
what
humanity
is
the bait is caring about other people, I guess.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But yeah, like this is why I'm like, I think this thing of like the end of the world and all that, this still just feels like another lie. Like I bet this is a situation where like even this like endless desert that we're seeing is probably just like Arizona. And like this like government facility was like, we'll just take over this little corner of Nevada, and then in a smaller part of that we'll put in a maze, you know, like that. Just like, I'll bet the rest of the world is completely fine, and there's some other reason why they're trapping these kids here in the fucking maze, and all that shit about like global warming and all that shit was like a lie.
You may be painting a more interesting story than what actually happens though.
Maybe, but there's only one way to find out, Ethan.
And that's to
watch.
Are
we going to continue watching The Maze Runner?
We'd have to watch the next movie. Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials is the second one.
Scorch Trials. There was the Maze Trials, and now we're entering the Scorch Trials.
What that even means. I mean, I'm interested. You know, I'll buy it. I think that ending was a little more interesting than I was expecting, to be honest. I thought it was... Because I did worry about how they're going to wrap up everything. So I'm like, but honestly, though, the thing is, I didn't really wrap it up. So I'm kind of wondering if they know how to wrap it up. You know what I mean?
How they're going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, like they
is this
going
to be a mystery box like J.J. Abrams?
Yeah, thing? Where they're actually like, well, the idea of not knowing is more interesting than knowing. And if we give you little tidbits, yeah. it's more fun. Which, like, yeah, that's yeah. fine. I'm enjoying it. I'll go through this maze again. I'll open up that cereal box and look at the back of it and be like, all right, how do I get little Fruit Loop guy to the end of the maze? Toucan Sam, that's but that I'm, guy's name. Toucan Sam. How's he get out?
Toucan Sam. I'm curious. Yeah, I'm willing to follow my nose wherever it goes. What I'm curious about is, like, because I don't know anything here. Like, they made three of these movies. Did they want to make every movie that they wanted to make, or is this a situation, like, where they had to stop because they stopped making money? That's one of my questions. And then two, the other side, the question I've got is, like, doesn't look like I really hope the length of these movies don't start ballooning. Like, I really
yeah, it
think this
very
is like
long.
A perfect
it was,
length.
It was a nice length.
That's what I'm saying. Is I hope future movies don't start going like the third Maze Runner movie is 3 hours long. You know? I'd like it to remain this amount
yeah.
of time.
I
basically.
Think. Yeah, I'm curious to see what's next. Let's not look up anything. Let's not be
oh,
like
no, we're
I'm not
going
to look up anything
to.
Until we
not.
Quit. Because I want to know more about the production and everything. I want to know, like, where they came Same. From a little bit more. I like the speculation. Yeah. So let's kind of keep ourselves... And there's only three movies, right? So we could hopefully right. get through it. But if we decide to quit after the second one, maybe the second one is terrible. Horrible.
That's what
movie.
I'm wondering, yeah. Yeah, possibly.
Then maybe we'll check out. Maybe look up some stuff. But for now, I'm having a fun little time with this movie. Even if it isn't, like, that great, the idea of a movie in 2014 kind of having this... In a way, those are kind of nostalgic at this point of having like a young adult sci-fi situation, high concept stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having fun. I'm driving.
I like the idea of a bunch of kids rallying against, you know, a shitty government agent and a bunch of terrible, like, conservative, like, sounding, you know, kids who are just like, we got to just maintain, let everything just be the way that it is. You know, I'm just curious to see how this continues, basically.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Guys, have you ever been in a maze? Email us. Email theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're also on Discord, and we have a Blue Sky. And if you want to keep up to date on the future Maze Runner episodes or listen to our previous Watch Till You Can't series, like our Hellraiser series, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it sends the grievers after us. I don't want to deal with a freaking
no,
griever.
Disgusting. Please don't send them over.
I don't want to deal with any grievers. But yeah, I'm very curious. I'm glad you're excited to see the next one. Yeah, guys, we'll see you. We'll see you. We'll see you back in the maze for the Scorch trial.
Oh, boy.
Good night, everybody.
And after that, the Beast Games. After that, the Beast Games is here.
The Beast Games. Hell yeah, brother. I locked a bunch of kids in a maze.
And they have no money incentive to get out. Every time I send them with pigs and I erase their memory. And then I want to see how quickly they could get out of the maze. And for what reason, you'll have to watch to find out. This is the Beast Games.
We have separated them. Brains and brawn. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.